Let's move on with the industry point of view.
So, good afternoon to all. This is a terrific invitation, and thank you, Fayez, for being here. I'm going to try to not necessarily build on the trial topics, but rather share with you some initial clinical observations we have from our trials in ACS with a direct thrombin inhibitor, and propose possibly some mechanisms that may be related to the effect of an antithrombotic agent among ACS patients.
Okay, we're good.
So the topic of my talk, I think, summarized what we're going to try to talk about is whether one of the key components in the thrombotic cascade, which is thrombin, possibly the most important component, is associated with myocardial injury, and whether that could be relevant in patients with heart failure and would therefore warrant further investigation. I'm an employee for the medicines company. I don't have a separate disclosure, but I'm a full-time employee. So the first level of evidence I would like to share with you comes from a trial called Horizons AMI. And this is a trial that investigated a thrombin-based treatment of patients with acute myocardial infarction undergoing primary PCI versus a more platelet-centric treatment regimen. And what this trial showed was that the mortality associated with using a direct thrombin inhibitor, the mortality reduction was significant at 30 days, however, it persisted and possibly enlarged over a three-year period. And you see it's a highly significant 45% mortality reduction. So that's one sort of evidence suggesting that at the time of myocardial injury, where myocardial infarction is clearly a great example of, inhibiting thrombin effectively may have long-term survival benefit. Now, one of the explanations for this mortality benefit was the fact that the specific intravenous direct thrombin inhibitor with a short half-life has a very favorable safety profile with a lot less bleeding than the more potent antiplatelet agents. And a lot of the mortality reduction was attributed to the reductions in bleeding that was seen with this agent. So some more recent analysis from the same data sets tried to investigate whether this was all related to bleeding reductions versus a direct effect of thrombin inhibition on survival. And what you see in this slide is that in the overall population, the mortality was significantly reduced with a thrombin inhibitor, but that was also applicable among the vast majority of patients, approximately 90% of the patients in the trial, who never had a bleeding complication. Because although bleeding is detrimental and harmful, it still does not apply to the majority of the patients in this trial. So what this analysis showed is that using a direct thrombin inhibitor at the time of myocardial jeopardy resulted in long-term mortality reduction irrespective of the effects of bleeding. Now, does that apply to other population with ischemic heart disease? We performed a meta-analysis including the three large randomized clinical trials that all compared the same two strategies, a platelet-centric versus a thrombin-centric acute antithrombotic regimen for patients undergoing PCI, which is an excellent surrogate for ischemic heart disease, obviously, because you will undergo a PCI only if you have significant ischemic heart disease. And what we saw, aside from the Horizons signal on mortality that was significant, is that when we pooled these trials together, that mortality benefit persisted. So at the time of PCI, which is to some degree additional induced iatrogenic ischemia on top of the ischemia associated with chronic coronary heart disease, inhibiting thrombin would result in a one-year mortality benefit, as this analysis showed. Now, what were the drivers of this mortality? So in the same population, we looked at some patient-level characteristics, wanted to see what the risk associated with this baseline demographics was. And what's important for the rest of the talk here and what we talked about so far is that people with a low ejection fraction tend to be patients at extremely high risk. So in this subgroup analysis, these are patients that underwent PCI, therefore they're all representing ischemic heart disease, and they had a very low systolic left ventricular performance with an ejection fraction below 35%. Well, that group had the highest annualized mortality rate compared to another group among the study population. So if we apply the same rationale when it comes to the different patient subgroups and how treatments perform, you will see here the subgroup analysis according to the treatment. And you see that among the patients with a low left ventricular ejection fraction, the survival benefit at 1 year with thrombin inhibition was the most pronounced than any other subgroups. Highly significant in the situation. Now, the treatment effect was consistent among other subgroups, but as you can see, the effect among patients with systolic heart failure was much, much greater. Now, here's the most intriguing part of this analysis. This is the one-year Kaplan-Meier curve on those 682 patients that you saw before. This introduces also the topic for discussion that an intervention in the acute setting of myocardial ischemia or infarction or myocardial jeopardy could impact the long-term mortality. You can clearly see those two curves diverging over time. On a separate data set, we tried to investigate and ask the same question, and this is actually work from Mike Gibson's group, who's not at this point with us, but I'm sure he'll be able to comment on this as well. This is from a very large hospital database in the United States, where approximately 15 to 20% of all patients admitted with ACS end up in this registry. And this is a sample of about 500,000 patients who underwent PCI. Now, this database is meant to be there to track not so much long-term outcomes, but rather short-term outcomes, in-hospital outcomes, but also costs associated with these treatments. So among these patients, we looked for codings that were consistent with clinical heart failure, and we identified a pretty large sample of about 66,000 patients that were treated, that were coded as having heart failure. The first observation is that these patients with heart failure, again, were by far the highest mortality laden group after PCI in the hospital. Their in-hospital mortality rate was fourfold that of the overall population. So the risk associated with heart failure was clearly, in this data set too, the same effect we saw in the previous one, a fourfold increase. The previous data set was one-year mortality. This is short-term in-hospital, but again, heart failure patients at great risk. So this is the effects of the two treatments again, comparing a platelet-centric strategy versus a very effective thrombin inhibition at the time of ischemia and PCI. And what you see is, in the unadjusted model, a significant 64% relative reduction in hospital mortality. Now, this is just the first few days after the ischemic insult, be it the index event, clinical event, or the PCI. This is not long-term follow-up, and if you think about the Kaplan-Meier curves we saw before, this may become even greater. And obviously, and the topic of registries came up before, these registries are not randomized clinical trials. There need to be some statistical techniques to try to adjust for baseline differences. We did perform that. We did a propensity score matching analysis. But, however, the benefit was highly significant and persistent. So mortality reduction during an ischemic insult with thrombin inhibition. So let me just summarize the observations from the clinical trials. Direct thrombin inhibition reduces long-term mortality after STEMI. However, direct thrombin inhibition reduced mortality in all-comer PCR. This is not limited to acute myocardial infarction. What's important is to recognize that this mortality signal persists despite the effect or the impact of bleeding, meaning an agent that reduces bleeding would also reduce long-term mortality, since bleeding is an independent predictor of that. But on analysis, removing the bleeding effect, we still see this mortality benefit persist. Patients with low ejection fraction appear to have the greatest mortality benefit among other subgroups. Again, subgroup analysis, post hoc, so care need to be taken when we interpret these, but that's the initial signal. Patients with clinical heart failure also, at the time of an ischemic insult, appear to derive significant mortality benefit from effective thrombin inhibition. So all in all, what the clinical observations we saw suggest that if you inhibit thrombin at the time of, in the setting of a jeopardized myocardium, that could be ischemia, infarction, low ejection fraction, or heart failure, there seems to be a mortality benefit by effectively inhibiting thrombin. So just a couple of slides to introduce some potential mechanisms. So when we think about thrombin, we think about coagulation. So the point that this slide makes is that thrombin is a multi-cell line effector molecule. It can affect and trigger multiple other pathways except just coagulation. It's a much more complex effect it has. This is just a slide depicting these non-coagulation effects, but I'm not going to spend too much time on this. This is a pig model of autotransplantation, comparing a heparin-based versus a direct thrombin inhibitor-based solution during the time of reperfusion. That's an ischemic injury at the time of transplantation. And what you see is that graft survival, and just focus on the top left, is significantly improved with a direct thrombin inhibitor, but I'll move on. The effect of thrombin on these cell lines is through the PAR receptors, and these are receptors that we're getting more and more familiar with and will become important therapeutic targets. They're already in testing. The thrombin cleaves the external and terminal end of the receptor. That triggers outside-in signaling. And then when it comes, as an example, in platelets, you trigger shape changes, secretion of granule contents, and integrin expression. However, what's important is that PAR receptors exist in endothelial cells and cardiac myocytes. They don't only exist on platelets. We have associated PAR receptors with platelets, but they don't only exist there. So you can imagine a situation where you have ischemia reperfusion that would lead to local concentration, high concentrations of thrombin, and that thrombin would activate the cardiac myocyte and endothelial PARs, not necessarily only the platelet ones. That leads to increased sodium, intracellular sodium and calcium. In turn, that induces apoptosis and loss of cardiac muscle, proarrhythmic effects, and increased contraction frequency. These have all been well documented, this pathway, through basic science report that we clearly don't have time to talk about here. So the idea is that if you introduce a direct thrombin inhibitor, or possibly a PAR inhibitor, at the time of ischemia reperfusion, you may take away these detrimental effects that are triggered by thrombin. And this is my last slide. I'm going to finish with just an outline of these possible mechanistic effects. The thrombin effects go beyond coagulation. That's well documented. Ischemia reperfusion is associated with a high local thrombin concentration. That's relevant in multiple systems such as organ transplantation, CABG, and of course myocardial infarction. Thrombin has direct effects on a number of cell lines, including direct effects on cardiac myocytes. Thrombin signals via the PAR receptors. Again, PARs are more ubiquitous than just platelets. We have to remember that. PAR signaling has been shown in patients with heart failure or with jeopardized myocardium to induce apoptosis and proarrhythmic effects. And then direct thrombin inhibitors or even possibly PAR inhibitors may provide cardioprotection in situations that include low ejection fraction and heart failure, where cardiomyocytes may be under duress for the acute or the chronic setting. And I will stop there. Thank you.